Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 2 in the Kind Stop the Bad podcast series, discussing why cyber insurance is a necessity and not a luxury. I'm Melanie Hayes, Chief Marketing Officer of Kind, and I'm joined by Kind's broker expert, Ben Duffy. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
And our very special guest, Carl Oliver. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Melanie.
And Carl is a UK cyber underwriter at specialist insurance company Beazley, who, as we all know, are a leading cyber insurer. Thank you both so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
So I think we really need to understand, is cyber insurance a luxury and not a necessity? I've heard several times recently that despite the increasing number of cyber attacks on UK businesses and a string of high-profile and well-publicised victims, such as British Airways, Uber, Marriott, Travelex and Honda, to name a few, organisations feel that cyber insurance is more of a luxury rather than necessity, especially among SMEs. I think, therefore, to get us started, my first question is for Ben. Ben, is this the feedback you're hearing from brokers?
Surprisingly, it is, absolutely. Brokers are really feeding back that many organisations, particularly SMEs, feel that cyber insurance is just an unnecessary new extra that they're obliged to pay for. And despite cyber risk being one of the biggest threats facing businesses, many SMEs don't have insurance cover in place. I think 10% in a report from 2017, which I suspect has increased, but not significantly. But look, because cyber risk means many different things, from financial loss, disruption or reputational damage, and is so pervasive, people sometimes think it's addressed in existing insurance policies, which may be partially true, but there will be gaps in this coverage. So also, the reporting of cyber insurance not paying out in the event of attacks, such as Mondelez or NotPetya attacks, the ones we all know, probably doesn't help the perception of it being a necessity rather than a luxury, I'd say.
So, Carl, in your experience, do you think there's any truth then that cyber insurance is a luxury and not a necessity?
Firstly, thanks for having me. To your question, is there any truth that cyber insurance is a luxury and not a necessity? Simply, unfortunately, the short answer is no. In fact, it's more of a necessity now than ever before. Recent years, we've seen huge financial fallout for organisations that have suffered large-scale cyber attacks. Not only the cost of the actual attack, it's also things like damage to reputation. For example, you mentioned Marriott Hotels, who are a high-profile victim of a cyber attack earlier. So the reported actual attack was estimated to cost around $28 million. However, the ICOs, they hit them with a fine of £99 million on top of that for breaching GDPR. Obviously, the fine there is massively outweighs the actual impact of the direct impact of the... So all companies now, regardless of the size, face fines of up to 4% or €20 million. So the ICO, as with that fine there, £100 million, they're not beating around the bush. They're definitely using that ability to fine companies. So these big fines get all the headlines as they're hitting household names, like the ones you mentioned earlier. But SMEs are also receiving regulatory attention too. So we've seen tiny companies with less than £1 million turnover receive quite sizable fines from the ICO. So while insurance may not be able to cover the fine itself, we've had actual examples where we've been able to negotiate fines down by evidencing to the ICO that the insured has done everything they can to protect themselves against cyber risks. That's obviously a huge value there. So going without insurance protection leaves a company helpless, really, against the regulator, which when it comes to SMEs might make the difference between surviving as a company or not, drastic as that sounds. So not only do these regulatory fines make cyber insurance a necessity, but perhaps more important is also the 72-hour stipulation under the GDPR, which is what the ICO sort of enforces. So this 72-hour window, it basically means that any company that finds out about an incident they've suffered, a cyber incident they've suffered, they, within 72 hours, need to know everything that's happened, all the people that have been impacted by the issue, and basically have a plan in place to respond to the incident. That 72-hour window is so, so hard for a small company to comply with. So in light of this, cyber insurance is emerging as a safety net, offering business protection if the worst does happen. Far from being a luxury, there's every possibility that cyber insurance will soon become a necessity, almost like health and safety for data. Given that it's increasing continually, cyber risk, and given that those that choose not to insure against it leave themselves and their customers vulnerable to potentially catastrophic consequences, particularly SMEs who may be less likely to have cyber insurance in place.
That's really interesting. And you mentioned there about cyber insurance being a necessity. Do you think one day we'll get to a point where it's a bit like car insurance? It's not that it's nice to have, but actually you have to have it. It's that much of a necessity.
Definitely. I think we're moving that way. I definitely think personal data affects everyone. Everyone's got personal data out there. It's in everyone's interest to have that data looked after properly.
It's interesting because we're talking about SMEs here and how they're probably less likely to have cyber insurance, but which is, from what we're saying, is absolutely not the right thing. But Ben, why do you think SMEs in particular feel they perhaps won't be a victim of a cyber attack and therefore for them, cyber insurance is a luxury?
Yeah, well, look, various reasons. I think, look, some are likely to feel that they're just less of a target and it won't happen to them. As they're small, they don't handle valuable information or don't hold as much and wouldn't be able to kind of pay large ransoms. So why would a cyber criminal bother with them, I think, is clear in their mindset. I think others feel that it's only large organizations that get attacked. And this is perhaps perpetrated by, you know, only large companies receiving media attention when they are attacked. So, you rarely see or mention of an SME suffering a data breach or being a victim to a ransomware attack on national TV or in the newspapers. But in reality, companies of all sizes must be resilient. They need to have the ability to weather a cyber breach and keep the business moving forward in that event. So cyber insurance, as Carl mentioned, it's a critical part of that. But by really providing a company with the resources it needs to kind of properly respond to and recover from an attack when it happens.
You don't really see SMEs who have had a data breach in the media, do you? I've read recently in a FSB report that small firms suffer close to 10,000 cyber attacks daily. So clearly they are a target. Why do you think this is, Carl? Why do you think SMEs are such a target?
It's a good question. So you mentioned that the FSB report interestingly shows that 1 in 5 small businesses have been victim to a cyber attack already. I'd probably argue that it might even be higher than that. It might be nearer 2 in 5 or maybe even 3 in 5, because some small businesses especially might be quite scared about admitting that they've had a problem previously. So the reason that these figures are so alarming is because SMEs are very attractive targets. The reason for that is there's over 5.4 million SMEs in the UK. So it's quite a big pond for cyber criminals to kind of fish in. Money, data, your customers' data, supply chain relationships, all of these are of value. And SMEs are less likely, as a general rule, to have protective measures in place or access to cybersecurity resources to help combat them. So unfortunately, they could be seen as easy pickings. Ransomware is a particular concern for small businesses, and our recent Beazley breach briefing recently highlighted an increase of 131% of ransomware incidents, so more than doubled since last year. And of those, 62% are actually targeting SMEs. Like I say, they're targets because there's lots of them, but also because they are low-hanging fruit. But what I mean by that is they don't necessarily have internal IT departments or the infrastructure to safeguard their organization. So unfortunately, SMEs are likely to always be vulnerable.
Yeah, those figures for SMEs are disturbing indeed. So I think it's fair to say cyber insurance definitely isn't a luxury. I can see that cyber insurance clearly helps after the event of a cyber attack. But from your experience with brokers, Ben, are there things that they recommend in addition to cyber insurance to help SMEs?
Yeah, I mean, look, actually, in addition to taking out an insurance policy, really the first thing an organization needs to be able to do is establish and understand the cyber risks they face. So having tangible risk data provides an overview of where the risks lie and begins to the journey in kind of dissolving that ambiguity around cyber generally for all involved, the insured, broken community, everyone. So it's actually not as hard as it sounds. And here at Kind, obviously, we help companies of all sizes with just their domain name. We can reveal in seconds the cyber risks they're vulnerable to and give them practical advice on how to mitigate them. So not only understanding their cyber risks will help them to manage them, but it also aids the insurer to provide accurate assessment and allow, ideally, better price premiums.
That's a good point. And speaking of cyber insurance, Carl, can you tell me what you're looking for when you underwrite a policy and any recommendations you can give SMEs?
Yeah, sure. So I'll do my best here not to sit on the fence too much, but obviously I'll caveat everything I'm going to say by stating that underwriting cyber risk needs to be done on a case-by-case basis, and different companies obviously face slightly bespoke exposures to that company. But one thing I will say is that we understand that companies can take cyber risks very seriously and therefore have excellent controls in place and yet still just be unlucky. We're not purely looking for things like high levels of investment in IT or security framework accreditations such as Cyber Essentials Plus, although these things are definitely helpful. But for me, I like to look at companies how I think the ICO might look at them if they were to investigate the company following a cyber incident. Think about questions like, is the company doing what they can? Were they unlucky in having an incident, or did they make themselves the target by not taking their cyber exposure more seriously? For each company out there, there needs to be an appropriate level of appreciation for the cyber risks they face. So one relatively easy, quick win that all companies, and this is especially relevant for SMEs, one quick win they can achieve is to train their staff. Unfortunately, for a lot of companies, their employees are their best asset, but also their weakest link. What I mean by this is some studies have shown that around 90% of data breaches are caused by human error. That study was actually done by Kaspersky, which is a massive data security company. I would actually argue that it might even be higher than 90%, and some other reports have actually come out with figures above 90%. So this sounds high, but when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. How many of us have sent an email to the wrong person by mistake, or sent the right email to the right person but attached the wrong file? They're really simple things, along with leaving things like leaving confidential papers or a laptop on a train. These all lead to data breaches. We've actually had an example of a doctor who's obviously a very highly qualified, very clever person, left confidential patient notes in the supermarket and they were found. And that is a data breach. So it's not as sexy or as headline grabbing as the data breaches we hear about in the news, but they are happening every day. And for some small businesses, they're game changing. And I don't mean game changing in a good way. I mean the sort of the difference between continuing and not as a business. So training staff is obviously important. That's a quick win there. Making them understand the exposure that they are bringing into their company. And if that training includes some form of phishing testing and training, that would be an even better place. Aside from this, more on the IT side now, having a decent backup is becoming more and more crucial. Our Beazley Breach Response Services teams constantly tell us if only they had a backup, or if only they tested their backup was working. So having a working backup could enable a business to minimize the impact of a cyber incident. The main thing I would say, though, I realize I've been talking for quite a while, so I'll try and summarize it now. The main thing I would say is, in terms of recommendation, and you can probably see this coming, is to have a plan such as an insurance policy that helps you, as in the company, respond to an incident. Cyber incidents are a common part of modern life and arguably the major exposure that companies now face. So having a plan could save the company. It's incredibly dangerous to try and handle a data breach without the appropriate support in place, such as with Kind as well. So it ties in quite nicely to a phrase that we at Beazley have used from time to time, which is having a data breach isn't always a disaster. Mishandling it is.
I think we've learned a lot here about cyber insurance and the necessity of it. So again, I think it's fair to say that now more than ever, cyber insurance is a necessity and not a luxury. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you both and sharing your insights on the necessity of cyber insurance. If anyone would like more information on managing their cyber risks, please contact us at hello@kind.io and we'd be more than happy to help. Once again, thanks, Carl, and thanks, Ben, and thanks to our listeners. I look forward to welcoming you to the next Kind podcast, which is coming out soon.